Talk Live. We are launching into the third hour of the program. You can dial in toll-free. Bring up what you want. 855-453. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And here with you tonight, it's Ian.
Derek J.
And Mark.
1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website over at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features we give to you there. They are free, unlike a lot of those talk show websites. We give ours away, freetalklive.com. You can actually get interactive there, too, in various different ways. We've got a chat room, a bulletin board system, and also you get to control the actual content of the site created by listeners just like you. So if you find something online that you think's interesting, submit it as show prep at freetalklive.com. Then others get the chance to vote on it. And the most voted up, make it to the front page and the top of the site, freetalklive.com. As we go back to Frank in New York to start us off this hour. Frank, go ahead with your thoughts.
Well, I think the new digital technology cognitively rewires the brain, especially, you know, with the young, because in a sense you have intensive visual and audio stimulation. And when you get into sort of digital games and the concept of gaming, you know, with educational programs and things, it makes things very instantaneous and a very quick reward. And you also have relatively instantaneous access to images and communication with the new technologies. Just think of the interactive cell phones with all their capacities, from videoing, photographing, going directly on the net, and receiving texts and emails. And I have a feeling this may in the future diminish the reflective critical capacity that's essential for reading, understanding complex ideas in the social world.
Why?
Pardon me?
Why?
Well, I think basically, you know, when you have access to digital media and movies and, let's say, educational programs that are set up as games with rewards in the process, it limits the reading a text or reading a classic becomes very boring and laborious. You know, part of the process...
Classics have always been boring and laborious.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you have to have that critical capacity to be able to sit in a room and read for hours on end, and then to attempt to understand that reading, often with taking notes. And when you
but
get
why do I need to understand... Hold
texting,
on, hold on. Why do I need to understand the old, ye old English of Shakespeare? It drives me nuts trying to follow that stuff.
Well, it's actually,
but it doesn't mean I can't critically think.
No, but what it is, what it does, though, it involves a criticality dealing with sort of an older form of English that's spoken, and it also reflects, you know, a high point in Western culture and civilization. So, in a sense, to be part of the culture, you have to understand the
milestones,
manifestations of the culture, in a sense. So, in a sense, when we get into predictive texting, we realize that we really don't have to spell, because, in a sense, when we basically just start out, the machine sort of takes over, and probably 90% of the time is correct with the word that is generated. And also, it limits the vocabulary from maybe, you know, 4,000 or 6,000 words down to maybe, you know, 1,200 or 800 words.
Would you say it's enhancing communication, Frank?
Yes, with regard to communications and
sounds like a positive,
you know, understanding the world and that whole process of how language shapes our worldview and the culture.
Do you really think that culture was at a high point during the Shakespearean times?
Well, you know, in a sense, we have the perspective or the lens of history, and we know that history is always being revised. So, in a sense, I'm not saying that was essentially the high point, but remember, Shakespearean literature or the Shakespearean plays were written for the common people. It was common entertainment, just like opera was, you know, in the 15th and 16th centuries. It was entertainment for the masses. It would be like our rock and roll or our Broadway or maybe, you know, 150 years ago, musical entertainment, you know, that existed, you know.
Do you think that stuff
in Europe and in the United States is sort of entertainment for the working class? So
do you think that stuff rewired people's brains when they saw it?
I think in a sense it did. And we have to realize, in a sense, too, that there's a pedagogical change using the new interactive technologies in the area of education. And what it can do...
What does that mean?
Well,
pedagogical.
I'm working on it.
Well, what it means, I think, is that, you know, in a sense, you may have, in the very near future, a tutor that's actually a computer program, sort of a little virtual reality individual that's going to be your tutor, sort of set up your curriculum and what you're going to do, and you're going to interact with that one-on-one with the digital technology. And there'll be, you know, billions and billions of people worldwide doing that simultaneously. And we really don't know what the influence will be. But the point is, you know, there's something important that Neil Postman, the late communications theorist and philosopher, in his text Amusing Ourselves to Death, talks about. And it's basically how, you know, the mass media and the entertainment forms with the integration of technology change not only the worldview, but cognitively change the individuals and their perspectives. And we may find out, too, that the world of virtual reality is more engaging than the real world that we exist in.
I think some people find that to be the case. That's why we have you know, certain people that have problems with being addicted to playing, say, what they call massively multiplayer online role-playing games, where they're spending more time in the game world than they are spending in the real world. I think there are some legitimate critiques, obviously, of some of the habits that can be developed here. But to say that rewiring, you know, if it's true that brains are being rewired, then I don't know if it's necessarily bad.
Well, no. We don't know if it is, but the point is, I think the capacity to be able to sit and read a text or to read complex material. In fact, there was a study done recently about university and high school students in senior high school and I think the first 2 years of university, whereby they found out that most of the students that are doing the research on the internet can't distinguish between an article that's important and that has relatively significant material and material that really isn't that significant, because they tend to view them within these frames, the way they're projected, you know, on the website and things. And as a result, if you can't make essential determinations, let's say, you know, in senior high school or in, you know, the first 2 years of university, you know, that involves a tremendous problem. And, you know, past generations were very easily able to do that. In fact, when you look at the curriculum that the people had 100 years ago in this country with eighth grade and compared that to contemporary high school, upper high school, you'll notice that it was certainly more academically demanding and
to have a robot teaching children seems like it would give children more of a one-on-one experience with their educators than they have today. And I'm with you, Frank. I mean, I enjoy reading the classics, but with predictive text and communication via email, I have more time to sit down and read the Odyssey. So it can work both ways.
That's great.
Well, right, and correlation is not causation, so the suggestion that people are having more of a difficult time reading the classics or these in-depth texts has nothing to do with the fact that tech exists. Tech makes it easier to bring books with you, like with the Amazon Kindle.
You're right about
but
that.
But what it has, I think you touched on what it has to do, Frank.
And accessible to everyone.
Right. And
which we don't have now.
As is the encyclopedia, as is all kinds of information, which is a huge step forward for humanity.
Correct.
But aside from that, I think if there's a reason why people don't like to read these things, and I don't. I can't stand reading that old language. It drives me nuts.
The reason is because of schools.
The government schools beat that out of people by forcing it upon them and making them hate those sorts of curriculum.
But then again, too, in the private schools, you have that, you know, is essential. I mean, you look at the curriculums of the elite in this country, like at Philip Sandover, Chode Rosemary Hall, or, you know, any of the schools, you'll notice that the students are reading Shakespeare in grade school, middle school, high school, college. So in a sense, they have many advantages that those in the public school that you so well articulated really, you know, in a sense don't have, or the way they present it is to make it so unappealing that it's just painful to deal with. But remember, that's a discipline. Just like, you know, music. I mean, we're not all going to be musicians, but the point is learning to play an instrument or to read music has an intellectual discipline that allows for other cognitive areas to be developed.
Well, that's fine, but to me, I want to focus on other things that relate, but not everybody's interested in learning music, and not everybody's interested in reading the classics.
But everyone should have the opportunity to make that choice, and currently we're unable to do that.
Thank you, Frank, for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. 855-450-FREE. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever's on your mind. And this is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE.
Quietus contains homeopathic ingredients traditionally used to provide relief. Can you hear that sound? That ringing, that hissing.
I can't get to sleep with it.
I can't concentrate. I hear it constantly. Everywhere I go, it doesn't go away. It drives me nuts.
It's tinnitus.
A constant ringing in your ear caused by loud machines.
Loud music.
Ah, finally. Quietus.
I love Quietus.
I couldn't believe it. No more ringing in the ears. No more hissing sound. Quiet relief so I can work.
No more ringing. No more loud fans.
And I sleep like a baby.
If you're suffering from tinnitus, I urge you to try Quietus.
After trying Quietus, the ringing stopped and I felt like I got my life back.
Quietus is real, my friend.
Quietus has changed my life.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Quietus at 1-800-713-3379. That's 1-800-713-3379. Stop the ringing now. 1-800-713-3379. That's 1-800-713-3379.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Do you use a CPAP breathing device to help treat sleep apnea and prevent snoring? If so, you should know big insurance companies and government regulations can affect the way you buy sleep apnea equipment. They decide what devices you receive, when you get replacement equipment, and even what you pay. Why limit the quality of your treatment? Break away from institutionalized healthcare and shop where you set the sleep therapy standard. Shop at CPAP.com. See what? CPAP. It stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure. CPAP.com has the equipment you want in stock and ready to ship today. Visit CPAP.com to see all of your sleep apnea equipment options. Or call toll-free 1-855-SNORE-11. That's 1-855-766-7311 to speak with a friendly sleep apnea expert who will answer all of your questions. Mention this ad for free shipping. Again, that's CPAP.com. CPAP.com. CPAP. Your money, your treatment, your choice.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live by dialing into our toll-free number. The number is brought to you by SACL CAI. It is 855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-3733. You can join us over at freetalklive.com. And if you are a lady listener, you become part of the Shrine of Female Listeners. Go to shrine.freetalklive.com, see what that's about. Shrine.freetalklive.com.
Well, if you're worried about how new technology might destroy the classics, don't listen to this ad. because Audible.com has all the classics you're looking for, and they have them in audiobook. So, you know, if you don't have time to reread or read the classics that you wanted to go through, you can use Audible.com to, get any of them. We were talking about the demons previously, and I looked at this, the Vatican's Exorcist, Driving Out the Devil in the 21st Century. There's one. Like I said, all the classics. You can get one for free from Audible.com by going to audiblepodcast.com/FTL. Let me give it to you again. audiblepodcast.com/FTL. Get a free download, whether it's classics or, new books. They've got more than 150,000 titles over there in every category. Something for you. audiblepodcast.com/FTL.
We continue taking your phone calls about whatever's on your mind. Helen is listening in Ithaca, New York to WNYY. Hello, Helen.
Oh, hi. Happy Mardi Gras to you guys.
Well, thanks.
Happy Mardi Gras to you.
What's on your mind?
I was just wondering, I don't grasp libertarianism, but I occasionally listen to your program you're airing here on a progressive radio station here in Ithaca. Mm-hmm. But so I'm just like wondering, as far as the government thing, I lived in France for a while, so I'm kind of like a socialist, and I know you kind of like don't like socialists that much.
Oh, no, I like socialists just fine, as long as they don't want to force other people into their system. What I don't like is people forcing others to do things against their will.
I agree totally with that, but yeah.
I get along fine with most socialists I've met. I mean, they're usually pretty.
Bernie
pretty
Sanders, I think, is the best senator probably we have in government right now.
I don't know. Anybody that advocates force, I have a problem with, and I know that he's advocated
force. All senators advocate force.
in a number of different ways. So that's, I think, where some socialists go wrong, is they have great, what they consider to be great ideas, but they think their ideas are so great, in some cases, that they should be foisted upon others, whether or not they agree with them. And that's where I disagree. And so does, conservatives. People that are on the right think the same way. They have their ideas, and they want to force them upon others, and I have a problem with that, too.
I totally agree with you.
Great.
The one good thing about socialism, though, is they think that the public entities, the commons and stuff, such as like public utilities, the utilities, maybe like steel mills, and that they want that to be commonly owned.
That's again another interesting idea, and there are some examples of co-ops where certainly employees have owned companies and others.
I belong to co-ops, yeah.
Right, and customers owning companies and things like that, which all makes sense. But the difference there is that those were started on a consensual basis. Those people started those co-ops from the ground up as a co-op, and what the people who want to take a steel mill and turn it over to the people that own it or whatever, or just take control of it. They're talking about force. They're talking about taking that mill by force, because right now someone owns that mill. Maybe it's a board of directors, or it's stockholders, or it's an individual, or a partnership, or whatever. But somebody owns that, and it would be wrong because it would be force to take that from them. Now, if you could get together with other people and offer them a buyout and then take it over that way, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, but with socialism, that's what it would be. It would be commonly owned. It would not be some.
But how do you get from here to there, right? So that's the question to ask the socialist, is how do you get from here to this common ownership? Are you doing it through consensual means, or are you doing it through some sort of forced takeover?
Well, we know what's wrong right now with the Citizens United decision and stuff. It's people with money are the people who are deciding who's going to make the decisions in this country, which is very sad.
That's true. Well, I wonder how Helen might feel about your solution for public schools in Keene. That sort of rings a socialist bell in my head, where I guess I should let you explain it here, Ian.
Well, the idea is to cede ownership of the government schools over to the people that actually operate the schools. So right now, the school board is in charge, and there's this huge administrative bureaucracy on top of these schools. It really prevents them from innovating and prevents them from being run in a manner that's efficient and effective. So the idea would be to give basically equal shares to all of the people that currently work for the school. So they would essentially have their own school organization on their own, you know, in their own hands, and they would be able to decide what to do with that, and they would be able to decide how to operate it. But it's
different because it starts as a public institution, right? It's not like somebody owns it, and then all the teachers say, okay, now we own this.
Right, because nobody really owns it since it's a public institution, whereas a steel mill is owned by someone, and so to, you know, pass some legislation to turn the steel mill over to a co-op would be force. But with the case of turning a government school over to its operators, there would be no force involved there. It would just simply be a restructuring of the system, and it would essentially marketize those schools and allow them to be much more free than they currently are.
All right. Well, I think sometimes, unfortunately, people who are members of the school board,
mm-hmm.
They are sometimes there for for some weird political opportunistic reasons, like that's their first step into jumping into some kind of what they think was going to either make them socially successful or whatever. They're starting their
climb on the ladder.
Yes, that's what they're doing. But as far as, I think schools are part of the commons. Like, we would like to have our children educated, and it should be, there should be, like, not any kind of political screen or anything for the teachers. It should be on a meritous basis based on, I don't know.
You know, this is all fine.
I love the idea of people getting educated too. But one of the problems I have with public education is that I homeschool my child. He's four now, but you know, we've already started. He's doing some reading and stuff like that. And every dollar that I pay in property taxes, more than 70% of the property taxes in my town goes to the school. Every dollar I pay in property taxes, 70 cents goes to educate somebody else's kid, frankly, at the cost of mine. Because if I had that money, I could do other things with it. And mostly what I do is give money to, you know, with extra money, we give it to, you know, give to charity and educate my kid, you know, things like that. So these other folks that are getting educated in what may or may not be, we don't know. There's no innovation in public school because there's no competition, or there's less innovation, and innovation doesn't come about the same way as it does in the marketplace. Accountability is lessened in the public school system, and I have to pay for it, and it's at the cost of my child.
Well,
I don't like that.
Well, and she's right, though. It is the commons, which means it sucks, because when things are commonly owned, no one has a real incentive to take as good a care as they would otherwise of those things. Whether we're talking about, you know, a commonly owned park, or we're talking about the commonly owned schools, when things are owned in common, they're truly owned by no one. Either they're owned by everyone or they're owned by no one. So therefore, no one is truly responsible for the condition in which they're kept.
Well, I tried to provide information to students at a school I have to pay for, and I get threatened with arrest.
Right. We've both been kicked off of school property. If you've got more, hang on.
Do you know which 37 crucial food items are going to fly off the shelves when the next disaster hits? If you don't, you and your family may be without food and waiting in long food lines after a big disaster strikes. You would be surprised how many people don't have these food items right now. 123survivalplan.com has set up a For Patriots Only video with inside information on the 37 food items that will sell out first when the next disaster strikes. The video on 123survivalplan.com has crucial information you and your family need to prepare for any disaster, natural or man-made, and you won't have to be afraid of going hungry or being sent to a FEMA refugee camp. See the video that over 1 million other smart patriots have already seen in the last 4 months. Prepared now. Go to 123survivalplan.com and learn which 37 food items you should hoard. Easy to remember, 123survivalplan.com. Again, that's 123survivalplan.com.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Listeners are discovering a simple way to earn money. We're talking quit your nowhere job and work from home type of money. IncomeAtHome19.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home. Listen to this.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs and we're both at home full time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
Listeners, IncomeAtHome19.com is A-plus rated for their business ethics. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company, and they do business in over 75 countries. No selling soap, no pressure, no cold calling. They bring money-making opportunities to your computer, either full or part-time. If you're ready to make a change and start earning money from home, go to IncomeAtHome19.com now. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome19.com. IncomeAtHome19.com. That's IncomeAtHome19.com.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Here we go. Free Talk Live. Toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. The SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features. They are free. Once again, freetalklive.com. Mobile site for those of you with a smartphone, and apparently one out of every two Americans has one now. You can go to m.freetalklive.com to get access to our live streams very quickly. Also, the podcast right there for you. M as in mobile.freetalklive.com.
Bitcoin's the world's first virtually anonymous digital cash. With bitcoins, there are no contracts to sign or terms of service to abide by. Anyone can download the free Bitcoin software and be using them in just a few minutes. With bitcoins, you can send and receive money without fees and without needing the permission of any bank or government. Learn how? Visit weusecoins.org. And now, thanks to bitinstant.com, you can have bitcoins in less than an hour by depositing cash in any major bank. To buy your bitcoins with cash, visit bitinstant.com. It's bitinstant.com.
As we continue, Helen is still with us listening in Ithaca, New York to WNYY. Go ahead, Helen. Anything else
Hi.
You want to share?
Yeah, no, I want to express my concern for, I don't think it's you, I think it's the other guy. I'm sorry, I don't remember your names.
There are three people on the air tonight. There's myself, Ian, and Derek J., and also Mark.
All right, whoever is homeschooling, they should get a tax deduction or something from that. Because
I think they should.
I mean, that should be like a federal law, you know, because if you choose to homeschool, you know, that's good. And you should not have to pay for other families' children's education, you know.
Then,
so.
Helen, what's the difference between that and just charging people when they sign their kid up?
What do you mean when they sign their kid up?
So instead of having taxes collected from everyone and then giving tax deductions to people who are doing homeschooling, why not just charge people when they enroll the kid in the school in the first place and just leave everyone else alone?
I think that's like the taxes are supposed to be paying for people, whatever their income situation is, whether they're poor or rich or something. We have public schools, which it sounds like you guys don't.
Well, aren't there some dentists and doctors who have sliding scales for people who want to have their services?
Well,
I don't know.
There are. Let me see if I can hop in on this one. So, Helen, I've got, it's my child. My name's Mark. And
hi, Mark.
So, if I get a tax credit for or don't have to pay that portion of the property taxes for my child at that point, what about the people that don't have children that have to that are paying for property tax? They're paying for public schools and that kind of thing.
Well, that would be me right now, and I don't have any grievance against that. I think to educate the populace is good. We don't want a bunch of idiots.
I agree with you, Helen, I agree completely with you on that. I think it's very important to educate people. My problem is the government school system forces me to pay for an education system with which I may not agree, and that's the real issue, is the force. So in the absence of that force, I might be able to take the, let's say, about I think I probably pay about $4,000 of my $6,000 per year that I pay in property tax goes to the local schools. I could take some of that money and choose which schools deserve my money.
I bet the Waldorf school could use some of that, Jack.
That's
with
right.
With that kind of marketplace, maybe a Sudbury school would exist here, too.
Yeah, I love the idea of the Sudbury school. I like the idea of supporting the educational climate that I think is most interesting. But the current system that we have with these government schools is that everyone is forced to pay for things that may not be very good or worthwhile. Have you ever been to a school board meeting before?
No.
I have been to a school board meeting, and I'm going to go to another one next week, and it's just absolutely excruciating. Just having to sit there as these people just debate over minutiae, like whether or not the brand new middle school should have a flashing sign out front. They've got one of those computerized signs, and apparently it's illegal to have a computerized sign in Keene, New Hampshire, because we wouldn't want people to think it's not a small town anymore. So some people are very upset that the new middle school has a computerized sign, but other people think that it should have the computerized sign, and so there's this big fight over whether or not there should be a computerized sign.
I like the sign. It gives the temperature.
And, well, apparently there's another sign in town with a temperature on it, but nothing else is allowed on so I don't know. I just don't know why that sign's allowed.
It's nice to know the temperature.
Anyway, my point being, they fight over this minutia, but they also fight over curricula. They fight over, what textbook should be in school, and there's just this constant battle. And the reason for this is because, well, once again, it's the commons. And so you have this tragedy of the commons where everybody's trying to get their way, foisted upon all the kids. Maybe some people want sex education. Maybe some people don't. Maybe some people want to talk about Jesus. Maybe some people don't want to talk about Jesus. And only one group will ultimately get their way. And then when they get their way, the other group redoubles their efforts, and they come back in, and they fight harder to take back the school board and try to put their curriculum on to all the students. I mean, it's just crazy, and it creates conflict amongst the people in society that have differing, disparate viewpoints. And so that's really all this public school system does, is it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. It sucks in more and more millions of dollars every year, and no one ever is truly satisfied with the education they get, because it's this big amalgam of 20,000 different people want, but yet only some people get that way. So what I'm suggesting is that we take the force out of the situation. If the government schools are good, then let the people who run those schools actually own the schools. Let them have a real stake in those schools.
Give it to them.
Give it to them. Essentially, it would be them starting their own business with all the assets intact. You'd get your own school.
That's a nice way to start a business.
The school buses and the buildings and everything like that, so they'd have a nice little starting head point. They'd be able to create the curriculum that's appropriate for their students, and parents that didn't like it could take their kids out and go and create their own schools and compete with them, and then everyone would get the education they're looking for. But the one thing that wouldn't happen is one-size-fits-all education would no longer be forced down the throats of all the people in one geographic area. How's that sound to you?
Well, I lived in Europe for a while, and they've had public education going wonderfully there for a long time. I've never spent a dime on my own education. I went to an Ivy League school, and I had a scholarship, you know, and I also went to the University of Paris. And in Europe, like, they want anyone who can possibly, you know, qualify to be admitted to a school. You know, basically, in most countries, you go for almost free. It's not totally free, but I know when I went to the University of Paris, it was like $500 a year, you know, and it was better than the Ivy League school, which I shall remain unnamed here.
But well, the teachers aren't working for free, so someone's paying for it.
Yeah, it's the commons is paying for it because we think that education is important. Like these are
right, but can you agree with me that education that I is it possible that I can consider education important but not be forced to pay for education I don't agree with?
I think everyone should throw something into the till, and I think
it's okay to say that everyone should throw something into the till.
If you want a kid to have a PhD and you don't have one, you're not going to be able to give this kid a PhD, you know? So,
are you justifying? I hear what you're saying. It sounds like you're justifying force, and that's what's concerning
me. There's no force. It's just, we pay taxes.
Well, there is force. That's what taxes are, and if you don't pay them, you get thrown out of your house. You do know that, right?
Yeah, I actually owe the IRS money, and they have
no, not the IRS. The local government is the one collecting school taxes. So if you don't pay the local, if you don't pay the city of Ithaca, then they are going to come steal your home from you. You understand that, right?
It's kind of minimal, and they are pretty patient.
Just because they wait and send you threatening letters doesn't mean that they're not going to steal your home from you.
They charge 12% here on anything that's unpaid.
So it's one thing to say that you should throw into the till. I agree. People should give money to charity. They should help their neighbor. They should do things.
I don't like the name charity. Charity means like you, it's just anyone who feels good, give money to somebody. I think like, you've got to realize there are people here who are really selfish and people who are dishonest and stuff.
That's okay. If they want to be selfish.
No,
it is okay. See, this is where you're going wrong, Helen. You have a desire to control those people, and I don't. If they want to be selfish, then they're going to suffer the consequences on their own of the negative relationships that selfishness is going to create, and eventually they're going to realize it was a mistake to be selfish, and maybe they should try being more generous. But you shouldn't force people to give money to things, because then there's no generosity there. There's no virtue there. You take away all of the value. More coming up.
Imagine you're on trial. The charge against you? Violating one of the hundreds of laws Congress passes each year. You rise in your defense and say, "Your Honor, I didn't know about this law." How will the judge respond? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizedDC.org, and I think you know the answer. The judge will reply, "Ignorance of the law is no excuse." So what's the excuse for your representatives in Congress? Their ignorance is even worse. They don't even read many of the laws they pass. At DownsizedDC.org, we're proposing a simple but powerful idea, the Read the Bills Act, to force Congress to read the laws they pass. Why? Because we believe the federal government is way too big. We want to slow the politicians down. We want to reduce the size and power of the federal government, and we want them to sweat the details, just like you do. Check out DownsizedDC.org, because ignorance is no excuse, even for a congressman.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com, civilian emergency dispatch system. Peace through preparedness.
At over 6,000 preparedness items, get you ready.
That's what you'll find at GetReadySurvival.com.
Over 6,000 preparedness items.
And counting.
Because we're adding new items nearly every day.
GetReadySurvival.com has it all.
Small and family-sized tents.
Backpacks.
Sleeping bags.
Food supplies.
Get yours at GetReadySurvival.com.
Portable water filters.
Canteens and hydropacks.
Knives, axes, shovels, compasses.
Camouflage and tactical gear.
Fire starters and ammunition.
It's all at GetReadySurvival.com.
How about first aid medical, emergency, or small personal survival kits?
Get yours at GetReadySurvival.com.
If you're not prepared or just semi-prepared,
the place to get prepared now is GetReadySurvival.com.
Got questions? Call 928-541-9723.
That's 928-541-9723.
Or go to
GetReadySurvival.com.
And remember, survival preparedness means living
on your own terms.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we, the people, can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on healthcare and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Bring up what you want. Dial in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-3733. You can bring up anything that's on your mind and take control of the airwaves. Here tonight with you, it's Ian.
And Derek J.
And Mark.
We invite you over to the website at freetalklive.com. If you would like to support the show, you can go to promote.freetalklive.com. You get a whole list of things that you can do there to help get Free Talk Live to more ears around the world. Go to promote.freetalklive.com. Everything from a free bumper sticker to flyers. You can print out web banners and graphics, all there. promote.freetalklive.com. And so, just a real quick before we continue with your calls, on this issue of schools and force, this is a common justification from people as to why we need the government, because there are some people who are selfish and they don't want to help other people, and they're just going to take a bunch of money and shove it under their mattress, and they just don't care about anybody else, and we need to have government here to take money from those people and put it to good use.
Even if those systems are highly inefficient, you know, for instance, here in Keene, there's a school that the tuition is $1,500. Might have gone up. Let's call it $1,800 a year to send your kid to this school. $1,800 a year, whereas the public school, it's $14,000 a year they spend on a student, and that's an insane difference, ten times as much. And so, I mean, I guess you have to ask yourself, if the system that we envision were more efficient, would it matter if some people, probably not all, some people were greedy with their money? I'm sure a lot of people want to be able to help folks. That's why we successfully feed everybody, because it's important to feed people. I mean, I think you can feed people, educate people, and shelter people without using force.
Clearly, the food bank doesn't force people.
If you stop the war machine that the United States government is, then you'd have plenty of money left over. At this point, you know, some of these estimates are 50% of your money goes to different levels of taxes in this country, and the regulations and the taxes that are put on the corporations and all these things. When you consider all the inefficiencies that are created by the government in the economy, 50% of your money is lost. It's frittered away. So if you had twice as much value that you earned, you'd have plenty of money to be able to give away to other people, which is, you know, what a lot of people want to do. They want to help others. They want to make a better world.
That's the world I live in. I think that would encourage more charity, but I recognize there are miserly people out there, but stealing money from them for things they won't use is only going to make them more miserly.
It's going to make them more angry and you know, jaded against the world.
Right. And a lot of people don't give, I held on to my money.
A lot of people don't give now because they don't feel they need to give because the government is already taking their money for these things. Mm-hmm. I'll let the government handle it. The most inefficient organization to handle anything.
Yeah, right.
And maybe those miserly people would be more likely to give to an organization that was maybe more tailored toward them. Maybe something that maybe they look at the current system as I do and I say, wow, this government school system really sucks. But they'd be willing to give to, say, some other school that is completely different from the government school system, whether it be some ultra religious school, maybe they're a religious nutbag or whatever it is that they're into. You know, they could support the school of their choice. But I agree that, you know, just because some people are going to be selfish is not an excuse to engage in theft and stealing people's homes from them. And I don't care how nice the government is about it. I don't care if they give you, like here in Keene, if I stopped paying property tax tomorrow, it'd be 3 years until they went through the tax sale process. But you damn well better believe they're going to go through that process as soon as it's legally possible for them. Sure, they're going to send me some letters in the meantime, and they're going to become progressively more and more threatening. And as you pointed out, Mark, there's a 12% tax on that particular, if you're running late with your... Yeah, there's 12% interest on that. So it's not like they're just going to let it slide and let you pick it up later with no penalty. I mean, it's just... I'm sorry, it's just wrong to force people to do things against their will.
If the system, the school system was so good, you wouldn't need to force people to fund it.
You don't have to force people to fund the food bank.
You don't have to force people to fund the rest of the schools out there. No. Just the one.
So, we'll continue here. Nick is on the line in Illinois on the Amp Lines. Hello, Nick.
Hi. Last week you did some outreach at a high school with mixed results.
Yes. Mostly negative results, actually.
Yeah. I remember from my experience when I learned the ideas of liberty that you have to be really careful about how you approach people about new ideas because opposition, especially on a group-to-group level, provokes solidarity. It turns people who would otherwise be apathetic or only mildly supportive into true believers, the way a vaccine provokes the defense response of an immune system. I, in particular, still have fond memories of my high school and especially my teachers. I got the beginnings of my economics education there, and I was taught a very frank version of American history that included a lot of things I've heard you say they don't teach in most schools. And once they even showed Stossel in the classroom to the whole school.
Wow.
I felt like they were good and fair people, not brainwashing overlords. I have had nearly all positive experiences with my public institutions. I'd say the reason I was a near socialist Democrat for most of my life was because I looked around and saw that my public institutions seemed to work. So I imagine that I would not have been receptive to your outreach efforts. Actually, I had to first be convinced that true free market economics was a good system before I could be convinced that the existing system was bad. I think in some ways you need to show the solution before the problem. That way you can spread the ideas without attacking or tearing down anything and provoking that response, because people think in terms of, you know, people have these relative scales. Things only look good in comparison to other things, and things only start to look bad once you show them that something much better is possible.
Do you think that reaction would be provoked regardless of the content? Because this week happened to be information about the Bearcat. It wasn't particularly, you know, libertarian ideas. It was just, hey, have you heard about this tank that's rolling into town?
That's the information you were presenting to high school students?
But I have to say, I wasn't able to get many of them out because they were simply just, you know, rebuffing me. I wasn't even able to hand out more than five of them. How did you do out in front of the school, Derek?
Maybe 10. Yeah. Maybe out of, like, 200 kids who passed me by, I was able to hand out maybe 10 flyers. And they were about the Bearcat. It wasn't like, hey, you should become a libertarian.
But they didn't know, right? Like, they'd already been turned off to us from whatever this groupthink is that's going on.
Right. So do you think the message is important there, or the delivery is what matters, Nick?
I, I think the delivery is far more important. It's the setting, the context. I don't feel like, you know, high school is a highly regulated environment, and I was just hearing this on NPR today, talking about how attitudes about high school by children have changed, and this was starting to come true even in my day, which was, I graduated in 2004. They're talking about Ferris Bueller's Day Off and compared how people viewed high school back then to how those kids view high school now. And nowadays, kids skip school less. They try to pay attention more, and they believe in their schools more, and
this is the first I've heard of this, Nick. I mean, I really have heard that that kids consider that learning in school to be uncool, and that having bad grammar.
If my experience at the high school is correct, then Nick is absolutely right. At least that's been my experience. These kids have a real affinity for this school.
Regrettably, it's been my experience as well.
I can't relate to it.
It might be that they have more affinity for the school than for learning in particular, because on NPR they had some children talk about, young adults I should say, talk about what it was that they liked about school. They used words like fun, but they also described that they felt safe there and like they were being taken care of.
Gives them a sense of identity and, Big Brother's watching out for them. Nick, do you think that members of the public ought to be able to hand out information outside the doors of a public school?
I don't think public schools should exist.
Well, okay, I'm with you there. In the case that they do, as they do today, do you see any problem with me handing out literature there?
That's a topic for another time.
Okay, fair enough.
People are scared to death about kids. I mean, they're convinced that if you let a single adult who doesn't have a child onto that school property, that they're going to load their van full of middle schoolers, one at a time, tossing them in there. And
then you wonder then that the response was so cold because they've been led to believe that that's what happens when you don't go through the channels.
Well, I wonder what would happen if we sent an adult with a child to the front of the school. How do you think people would behave then? Because there's one guy who said he was going to come out. Unfortunately, he was late recently and he didn't make it.
He doesn't have a child at that school.
He does actually have a child at that school. What do you think they would do then?
I can't imagine. Well, they'll probably paint him with the same brush they painted you.
Well, one of the leader children who was outside was saying, "How do I know you don't have a gun? How do I know you're not a pedophile? I happen to know this guy." And he was still making these threats.
Hey, thanks for the call, Nick. Appreciate hearing from you. We're out of time for tonight. But you can join us again tomorrow over at freetalklive.com. And don't forget to join Derek J over on his website, livefreeordance.com. And he also blogs over at fr33agents.com as well as freekeen.com. You are a prolific blogger.
Oh, well, thank you.
See you tomorrow night, freetalklive.com. Here on Free Talk Live, we've been pretty excited about the Bitcoin. It's a decentralized, free market digital currency. You can learn more about it at weusecoins.com. But if you already have some bitcoins and you'd like to spend them, you can spend them at spendbitcoins.com. When you spend bitcoins on Amazon via spendbitcoins.com, Free Talk Live gets a cut. Or if you're an Australian trying to figure out how to buy bitcoins, you can buy them with cash at au.spendbitcoins.com. Once again, that's spendbitcoins.com. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering Amazon through our website. Go to shop.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a portion of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site at shop.freetalklive.com. That's shop.freetalklive.com.